Let's read three scriptures. They're all familiar. The first one is 1 Samuel chapter 22. 1 Samuel 22. And David departed thence and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And his brethren and all his father's house heard it, and they went down thither to him. And every one in distress, and every one that was in debt, and every one of embittered spirit collected around him, and he became a captain over them. And verse 20, and one of the sons of Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub, named Abiathar, escaped and fled after David. And Abiathar informed David that Saul had slain Jehovah's priests. And David said to Abiathar, I knew it that day when Doeg the Edomite was there, that he would certainly tell Saul, I am accountable for all the lives of thy father's house. Abide with me, fear not, for he that seeks my life seeks thy life, for with me thou art in safe keeping. And then in Acts 16, verse 28. But Paul called out with a loud voice, saying, Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. And having asked for lights, he rushed in, and trembling, fell down before Paul and Silas. And leading them out, said, Sirs, what must I do that I may be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved, thou and thy house. And then back in the Old Testament, in 2 Samuel chapter 9, and verse 9, 2 Samuel 9, verse 9. Then the king called Ziba, Saul's servant, and said to him, I have given to thy master's son all that belonged to Saul and to all his house. And thou and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits that thy master's son may have food to eat. And Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread at my table continually. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. And Ziba said to the king, According to all that my lord the king has commanded his servant, so will thy servant do. And Mephibosheth, said David, shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. Yesterday we went on a steam railway. And when I got the ticket, it said third class. I didn't ask for third class. Probably a reflection of my financial status, but it reminded me of that wonderful gospel tract, Safety, Certainty and Enjoyment. And it speaks in that tract of the three classes. One, those that know that they are saved. And the second, those that are not sure. And the third class, that don't care. Now, I'm not criticising the tract at all. It's been a blessing to many. I knew what the writer meant, of course. Actually, there are only two classes of people. There are those that are saved and those that are lost. Which class are you in tonight, dear friend? But as I was riding along, I did think of that wonderful gospel tract, which has used been for the blessing of many and is still available. And I recommend, if you haven't read it, that you do read it. It's not scripture, but it's been used of God. Safety, certainty, and enjoyment. And I've just read three scriptures. First speaks of safety, the second speaks of certainty, and the third speaks of enjoyment. Started with safety. David is a type of the Lord Jesus. I know he's a type of the believer, but he's a wonderful type of Jesus. And David, you know, was in rejection, as is the Lord Jesus today. He was put on a cross. The world said, we will get rid of this man. We will not have this king to reign over us. But there were those who came to David that found him attractive, that found he had something that no one else had. And may you tonight, if never before, find something in Jesus that no other man can provide. You look at that crowd that surrounded David. It wasn't a very encouraging crowd, was it? But it's just like you and me. As away from God, we're bitter, full of sin, in debt. Says those in debt. Do you know that you're a debtor? Debtor to God? If you're a sinner, and I would respectfully point out that you are. In fact, there's no excuse, no escaping that fact that you are a sinner. And if you are a sinner, then you're in debt to God. You owe God, because he demands holiness and righteousness, and you've defaulted, and you are in debt to him. You are a debtor. But they collected round David. They were drawn to him. And the gospel is proclaimed tonight, dear friend, that you might be drawn to Jesus. If I, the Son of Man, he says, have lifted up, I will draw all to me. How many hundreds and thousands have been drawn to the side of Jesus? May you tonight, if never before, be drawn to our Lord Jesus Christ. Wonderful type of the Saviour here in the cave of Adullam. They were safe with him. And I read at the end of the chapter there, well, these were troublous times. And we live in troublous times. People are fearful. Fearful for their own personal safety. Fearful for their houses. We live in very violent times, evil times, morally dark, physically dangerous, satanic even, as we were saying this afternoon. But there's one place where you can be safe, and that is with Jesus. Safe in the arms of Jesus, the hymn says. And the Lord, and David says here to this one, fear not. What does it say? Abide with me, fear not. That's a wonderful thing. And that's part of the gospel message, fear not. You know, when the shepherds saw the glory and they were in distress, what was the message? Fear not, today salvation has come. And the message of the glad tidings is fear not. You know, when the Apostle John, he thought he knew Jesus very well. And yet when he saw Jesus in all his glory, he fell down as dead. But the word to him was, fear not, stand up. And tonight, dear friend, if you're fearful of your circumstances, if you're fearful of your sin, the Lord Jesus tonight would say, fear not to you. It's a day of grace. It's the acceptable year of the Lord. He's willing and welcoming to you tonight. He wants you to come to him. Have you made that step of coming to Jesus? Just a step is needed. Just reach out your hand. You think of that woman in the Gospels. She was timid. She was fearful. And yet she just touched out and touched the hem of his garment. And she received blessing. That's all you need to do tonight. If you feel your need, is to reach out to Jesus. And you will receive forgiveness and blessing and salvation. So David says here, fear not, for with me thou art in safe keeping. Are you safe tonight? You know, there is a place there where nothing can touch you. The Lord Jesus in the Gospels, he spoke about men, what men can do to you. They can kill the body, but they can't touch the soul. That is for God. And so that many dear Christians throughout the ages have been persecuted. You read that list in Hebrews 11. Sawn asunder, ravaged by lions, all manner of things happened. And yet Paul said to these, what can separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus? Nothing. Hell no, death no, Satan no. Nothing can separate me from the love of God which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. With me thou art in safe keeping. What a wonderful message that is today. In this wicked, sinful, evil, scary world that we live in. With me, thou art in safe keeping. Are you safe in the arms of Jesus tonight? You need to come to him in faith. Means looking out of yourself. You know, man, part of his problem is he looks inward. What do I see if I look in? I see sin, I see despair, I see failure. But just like we were reading earlier in our readings, the brazen serpent, what they had to do was to look away from themselves. They had to look up to that serpent on the pole. Jesus was made sin for us. We just need to raise our eyes to him. Look to him. The prophet said, look unto me, all ye at the ends of the earth, and live. Have you looked to Jesus? Have you come to him? Have you found safety? There is a safe place, a haven. You know, there's lots of hymns were written in the 19th century, because in those days everything was done by ships, and there weren't any planes. It was all by ships, and a lot of the gospel hymns are to do with finding a safe harbour, getting to the harbour, and not being lost, rescue the perishing, all those kind of hymns. You know, there is a haven, which is a safe place where you can find safety. Have you found safety tonight in the Lord Jesus Christ? It's available for you. All you need to do is recognise your need. All the fitness he requireth is to feel your need of him. We're so proud, aren't we? Sin makes us proud. What you need to do is to look to him. To realise that you are a sinner and that you need a saviour. And you will find, as you put your trust in faith in him, that he's a safe place to be. Nothing can touch you. Yes, physically things can touch you, but you are safe for time and for eternity. Do you have that wonderful assurance in your heart that you're safe in the arms of Jesus? Safe. With me, thou art in safe keeping. He will keep you. The Lord said to his own, didn't he, that having loved his own, he will love them to the end. What love like that? There's no love like it, dear friend. The love that was demonstrated at the cross is the love that will keep you until you go home to glory. Safety. May we know what it is to be safe in the arms of Jesus. I read in Acts 16, we know this story very, very well. The poor jailer was in a difficult position, wasn't he? What was he going to do? He'd heard these two singing praises. That's a witness, isn't it, to the triumph of believers, of Christians, that they can sing in times of adversity. You know, something which is outside of ourselves. Why could they sing at midnight in prison? Because they were safe in the arms of Jesus. Nothing could touch them. You know, the prisoners listened to them. Are you listening tonight to the word of God? Are you listening to the voice of the Lord? And then there's this great earthquake. You know, God sometimes uses an earthquake. Sometimes he uses just a still small voice. You know, you just have to hear what the Lord is saying to you. Maybe he's speaking to you, just you. No one else can hear it. No one around can hear but you. Sometimes it needs an earthquake to wake us up. Here there was an earthquake. And the jailer was in danger. He worried. What was he going to do? It's interesting, he says, what must I do to be saved? What an odd question. Did he realise he needed to be saved? This was about keeping the prisoners safe. Keeping the prisoners under lock and key. And yet he says, what must I do to be saved? What an odd question. I think he realised his need. He realised his conscience was smitten. And tonight, if never before, dear friend, may your conscience be smitten tonight. Because that's a wonderful thing. If God starts to work in your heart, your conscience is smitten, so that you cry out, what must I do to be saved? Wonderful answer. Thank God for this answer. they were able to give with absolute certainty. Safety, certainty. There's no ifs, no buts. You listen to the politicians, and there's everything but. When they say, now to be absolutely clear, what they mean is, I don't know what I'm saying next. But here, there's no ifs, no doubts, no buts. Believe on the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved. Cast iron guarantee. And why is that, dear friend? It's because of the person himself. Who he is, the Lord Jesus. That's what Paul and Silas are speaking of here, the Lord Jesus. God's beloved Son. The one who came from glory and has gone back to glory. The man who we were reading off this afternoon has power over everything. The blessed Son of God. And yet he came into this world. Philippians 2, isn't it? He came, he humbled himself and was obedient unto death, and that the death of the cross. Believe on him. Not just to give a mental assent, but to put your trust and faith in him, absolutely. There are certain situations in life where we can do nothing else but just trust somebody else. Have you done that as far as your eternal salvation is concerned? That I think there's a note somewhere in the Bible about believing. It says in putting my trust completely in another. Have you done that tonight, if never before? Or the gospel is going out that you may do that tonight, is to put your full trust in him. Not just to believe mentally. I know certain facts. We're educated. We're brought up. We're taught certain things. We know certain things. We even know certain things are true. But we're not asking you just to believe things are true tonight. But believe on the Lord Jesus means that I actually put my life in his hands. Have you done that, dear friend? Have you put your life in his hands? Depend upon him as if he's the last thing that matters, and he is. Believe on the Lord Jesus and thou shalt be saved. Absolute divine certainty. Nothing in this world, absolutely nothing, is guaranteed. But here's a man who can be depended upon absolutely because of who he is and because of what he has done. And it's because of those two things that he can be relied upon absolutely. And it says, thou and thy house. God, you know, wants us to be complete in our salvation. Not one left behind. Jesus is coming again soon to take every believer to be with himself forever. I trust you will not be left behind. Going back to the tract, I read a comment of J&D's this afternoon about when he went to preach somewhere and he missed the train. Well, you know, there is an urgency to the glad tidings. The gospel train, if you like, is going to arrive at a glorious destination, but you're in danger of missing it. You need to grab the opportunity while it's still called today. Today is the day of salvation. You know, there is a point when that whistle goes and it's too late to board. In the old days, people used to try and grab the door and jump on, didn't they? But these modern trains, you can't do that. It's too late. Can't get in. Jesus is coming very soon, dear friend. very soon, I think. Make sure that you don't waste another second. If you're not absolutely sure of your salvation, put your trust in him now. Repent of your sin now. Have to do with him now. And get on board this glorious salvation, which is going to end in glory. Destination, glory. Future assured. We've been begotten again to a living hope through the resurrection of the dead. Why are these things so real, dear friend? Because my Saviour lives. He's in glory today. He's there, an actual man living in glory. He went the way of the cross. We read about the cross this afternoon. How vital it is. None of these things would be possible. Salvation wouldn't be possible tonight if it wasn't for the cross. It's central to the scriptures. It's central to salvation. Have you been through the way of the cross? You know, Pilgrim, he lost his burden there, didn't he? He carried it all the way to that point. And you won't lose your burden on the way, but it's when you get to that very point that the burden is rolled away, because you realise that he bore our sins, my sins, in his body on the tree. He shed his precious blood to wash the sins away. The blood is for God. You know, God is holy, as I said at the beginning, and his holiness requires blood being shed. Without that, there is no remission. You know, when the children of Israel, they painted the blood on the doorstep and on the lintel, on the door, sides of the door and the lintel, they had to believe and they had to trust that the angel was not going to destroy them. But it says, when God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And they were redeemed. Have you been redeemed? Are you part of God's redeemed company? That wonderful company which has been redeemed out of this world. It's on its progress to that wonderful land, the promised land, but which you can enjoy even now. And that's my third scripture. Safety, certainty and enjoyment. Because as we were saying this afternoon, as our brother said, it's not just going to heaven when you die. That is true. I am going to heaven when I die. But I hope not to die, because I hope to see the Saviour come for me first. And may that be the hope of everyone here. But while we're waiting, we can enjoy what we've been brought into, can't we? And this dear man here, we've spoken of him very often, and we've read about him recently. He was brought into a scene of enjoyment, wasn't he? He was, it actually struck with it as I read it just now. It says, as one of the king's sons, he was given that privilege. You know what a son has? A son has freedom, and he has privilege. The younger son in Luke 15, he said, make me as one of thy hired servants. He just wanted to sort of slink in the back door. Which was a good feature in one sense, because he recognised just what he'd done. And yet, you know, he didn't really understand the heart of the Father. And, you know, we don't really understand the heart of God. But the gospel goes out that you might do. And the son is given the best robe. He's given the ring. He's given the sandals. You know, the servants and slaves had to go barefoot. It was only the son that had the sandal. What a privilege we have. And what we're brought into. The fatted calf is killed. There's merriment. There's dancing, the singing, here in 2 Samuel 9, that one who's not worthy really, who's a son of the enemy, actually, what grace was showed upon him. It says in the scripture, and we've all received it from him, and grace upon grace. God, you know, is so good. He's bestowed so much upon us. And you know what a son is able to do? He's able to serve God acceptably, with reverence and with fear. He's able to sit at the table of the king, and he says, one of the king's sons. There are others, you know, in Judges, who it says that they were just like the king's sons. You know, it's a wonderful privilege conferred upon you to have that dignity, to have that privilege. What blessings we're brought into. To enjoy God's favour, to enjoy his blessings, and for him to enjoy our company too. To, you know, it says of the Lord Jesus that in Isaiah 53 that he shall see of the soul, the fruit of his travail, and his soul shall be satisfied. Enjoyment. You know, it's wonderful that God and the Lord Jesus delights in our company. He wants our fellowship. You know, Mary chose the good part. She sat at the feet of Jesus, and it says that part shall not be taken from her. Are you enjoying what God has brought you into? Are you treating your salvation like an insurance policy where you've just done the paperwork and then you put it away in a drawer in case something goes wrong? Wonderful privilege, you know. You've been saved for glory. But it's not just for a future day. But you're saved to enjoy eternal life now. You're saved to enjoy the presence of the King now. In a scene of rejection, you're saved to enjoy all the wonder of the Father's house, to enjoy the freedom and liberty and dignity of the Father's house now, and that wonderful provision. So even as we come together on our Lord's Day morning to remember him and to praise and worship him, we're enjoying something of the King's table, aren't we? The wonderful privilege of sitting with him, of being in his presence, and having a foretaste of our eternal salvation. Well, I'll just leave that with you. May you be in the good of these things, of coming to the Lord Jesus and owning him as your Saviour and as Lord and as King too, to coming into his kingdom. And as you are a subject of his kingdom, you will have safety and certainty and enjoyment. May it be your lot tonight, for his name's sake.